We are continuing our study in 40 Days of Blessings, and it was my goal to have a testimony every week. We've had one every week, except for last week. We had one, but the demons got in the technology, and it wouldn't work. So we've been delivered, and we've prayed, and I've taken some holy water and sprinkled it back there, so I think we're good to go. So we're going to have another special testimony from one of our own folks about the blessings of God in their life. Let's watch this testimony together.
Well, good morning. It's my privilege to welcome you to this 40 Days of Blessings again, and we have another opportunity to have a testimony from one of our own. And Brother Jonathan, introduce yourself to our church family.
My name is Jonathan Daniels. I have my wife, Paulette, and our three children. It is really a blessing to be here today and to share some of the many, many things that God has done in my life. Not in any particular order of importance. My son, Michael, who's seven right now, did not talk for the first 4.5 years of his life. He has autism. He flapped his hands, cried all the time, and had problem standing and problem walking. It was a very, very big problem to anybody. Not just simple way of doing things. It was extremely difficult. We prayed all the time until one day, Joshua, his older brother, who learned how to pray very early in his life, said to God, "Lord, could you please make my brother talk and make him normal?" In less than 2 weeks, Michael's first word was, "Hallelujah." Today, Michael does not only talk in a very lucid and sparkle fashion. He doesn't have problem climbing steps. He articulates very, very well. Right now, Michael is in second grade, but reads at fifth grade level and can spell up to eighth grade level. Although he still has some social issues, and I thank God for the progress he has made. There are so many other things I can say, but let me just, for the interest of time. My mother, Adeline, who lives in Nigeria, was taken home to the village to die in November of 2000. My brother called me and stated, "Joe, we need to make preparations pre-funeral because our mother is about to die." That was one of the worst times of my life here in the United States. I was going through so much challenge. I couldn't even have traveled home if that had happened. That means in my culture, that's an abomination and a disgrace to a mother who gave everything for me to be here. Crying did not stop. Praying could not help me. But one afternoon, I cried out to God and said, "Lord, I am not ready to separate from my mother. I am not ready for this ultimate loss. Whatever it is you need to do, do it. I am not willing to accept this." 9 years later, she is living much better than she was. And my brother has not stopped calling it a miracle.
Have you been able to go home and visit your mom on several occasions since then?
Yes.
Amen.
My contract with her is, "Mom, continue to live, and I will do whatever it takes." She called me a few days ago and said her leg was hurting, and she needed some money to get to hospital. I said, "Mother, what is our contract? You do the living, I do the payment."
Tell me maybe how, what you do, tell the folks what you do, and how you share God's blessings at work.
I am one of the assistant principals of Samuel High School. I was at Skyline for a good while, and Brian Adams, during what Dallas ISD called RIF, Reduction in Force, I was moved to Samuel. Before I got to Samuel, I knew the history of Samuel, just like the Bible states, a land that devours its inhabitants. I was very reluctant to go. Sure enough, if you get to Samuel and last a week, you will make it. But it's not on my own. It's based purely on God's grace and mercy. Majority of my job at Samuel is discipline, parental conference, watching teachers or instructional delivery and evaluation. 2.5 hours was spent from 11 in the morning to 2:30, more than 2.5 hours in the cafeteria for lunch duty. During that time, you can hear or see anything that can blow your mind, from any form of a terrible language to any act that you begin to wonder, how in the world am I doing this? As I discipline the students, especially those that come through my doors many, many times, I find out what we call in teaching, teachable moment. But in this case, blessed moment. I remember this young lady who stated, "I hate my mother, I hate all of you, and I hate my life. I know, due to separation of church and state, that you cannot introduce Bible, but I still have freedom of speech, which every now and then I will introduce. Do you love yourself and do you believe in God?" The child stated that she doesn't know what God is, and she has never prayed, and she doesn't know how to pray. As the kid, if I tell you or pray with you, would you at least try? Not only does this child love her mother, she has also improved so well academically and otherwise.
Thank you so much for sharing, Jonathan, to your people and our church family. And God bless you for letting us hear how God's blessed your life.
Thanks so much. It has been a pleasure. And it's our
If you've not had a chance to meet Jonathan and Paulette and their three boys, Michael, Joshua, and Tyrell, they're sitting right over here. Y'all stand this morning, would you? Praise the Lord and thank you. Thank you, thank you. God bless you. Because of time that was edited, there were so many more things that Jonathan shared. It was just a great blessing. And it's glad to have, as he said in his testimony, you did not get to hear it. He's from Nigerian by birth, but American by choice. I tell you what, and his wife, precious wife, is from Belgium, and we're glad that y'all are a part of our church family. You're a blessing to us. Thank you for sharing your story this morning. Well, today's message, as you see the title listed in your worship notes, is Unexpected Blessings. Unexpected Blessings. By now, most people are aware of the familiar Wikipedia. Wikipedia. It's the free online encyclopedia that's updated and edited by its users. Okay? It's updated and edited by its users. The word wiki comes from a Hawaiian word which means fast. That's the root of that term. But some have suggested that Wiki is an acronym for What I Know Is. Wiki, What I Know Is. But it could also stand for What I Know Isn't. Because on Wikipedia, you'll discover that some of what people put in Wikipedia isn't true, either by ignorance or by malice. That what we think we know sometimes is not really what is. And yet so often the things that we think we believe in and the things that think we know can control our lives and cause us to miss out on the truth of what really is. How often have we missed out on what God wants to do because we presumed on our knowledge instead of letting God be God in our lives? When was the last time you faced a horrific crisis, whether it's sudden, the diagnosis of a doctor or an auto situation, auto accident, or somebody calls us, this tragedy has just happened. When is the last time when, in the heat of that moment, your first thought was, God, there's a blessing in here somewhere? Probably never. Probably never. We usually come to that after the fog clears and the emotions die and we begin to see some distance from that experience. And yet we miss what God's doing because of our expectations. Turn with me, please, to the text of Scripture listed for you in your worship notes, Matthew 5, verses 1 through 12. Section of scripture known as the Sermon on the Mount. Let's stand together as we honor the reading of the Lord's word this morning. And when they saw the multitude, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." May the Lord bless and receive his word. You may be seated. How can we learn to expect the unexpected and discover the fullest extent of what God's doing in, around, and through our lives? Three things out of this text that I want to enlarge on that we can learn to expect the unexpected. First of all, by remembering what God says about how he works, and understanding the scriptural principle concerning the activities of God. As you survey the scripture, you discern that many of God's best blessings come camouflaged in times of crisis. Some of God's best blessings come camouflaged in times of crisis. If you were not looking for the blessings of God, you could overlook them, missing the mystery of his grace, because they come in unexpected ways and in unexpected times. What does God say in this text of scripture? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those that mourn. Don't these seem to be a contradiction of concepts? Poor in spirit, blessing. Mourning, blessing. Gentle. How is that a blessing? Isn't it the person that's proactive and aggressive and motivated, the go-getter? That spirit, that attitude? That's Jesus said. Blessed are the gentle. Blessed are those who've been persecuted. Really? Blessed are you when men cast insults at you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. You're blessed, he says, if you experience these things. Now, since we know that, are those the kinds of experiences that you immediately sense and see and feel affirmed by the blessings of God when that happens? No. Why is that? Because somehow, some way, we have not allowed the truth of this passage to be internalized into our hearts and experience. It's a theological concept, but not an emotional reality as of yet. These verses reveal an unpleasant and unexpected truth. Here it is. To enjoy God's blessings, we must allow him the right to package them as he sees fit. Now, God's going to be God whether you choose to allow him to be God or not. You're allowing him is not going to keep him from being God. But by releasing your desire concerning that and say, "Lord, you bless my life. And I'm going to let you choose how you package that blessing." And yet how often we miss it because we don't like the packaging and we do not discern the blessing. All through scripture, we see this principle lived out. You remember the story of Joseph, who was favored by his father. His brothers despised him because of that favoritism. They took him. They sold him in slavery. They told the father that he had been eaten by a wild animal. He was sold into slavery. He went to Egypt. He spent time there. He served. He was lied about. He went to prison. I mean, this took years of suffering on behalf of Joseph's place until finally he was delivered from that, until he was second to Pharaoh. God used him through his wisdom to provide a way of saving the grain to be a resource during time of famine, until his own family eventually came to Egypt needing food, and they sat at Joseph's feet, not recognizing because of the maturity that he had experienced, and then no doubt the Egyptian garments that he was wearing. And yet when he spoke to them and said, I am Joseph, it horrified them. They thought we're dead meat. We're dead. And yet Joseph said those profound words. You see in Genesis 50 verses 19 and 20. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. A blessing was hidden. Now, does that justify the deeds of the brother to mistreat him, to lie about him, to sell him in slavery? No, that does not justify. They are still wrong for what they did, but God takes our worst and uses it for his glory. That's what God does. You remember there was a day when the disciples were walking along with Jesus and they'd begin to see him manifest his earthly ministry and the things that he could do and speak and how they would respond. And they saw a blind beggar on the roadside who was crying out for help and assistance, needing some food to sustain him. And isn't this interesting? The disciples wanted to settle a theological debate. They were having discussion between themselves and they turned to Jesus. And this is what it says in John chapter 9. They asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? I mean, the man's condition was a theological uncertainty. They were having a debate. And Jesus answered, it is neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. Is it a blessing to be used by God as an instrument to reveal his godness, his glory, his heart, even if it's through a painful experience that you didn't bring upon yourself? Well, the answer obviously is, yes, use me, Lord. Here's my life. I'm an instrument of your grace. How you choose to package your gift through me is your business. You do it for your glory. Listen, God is God. He's the potter. We're the clay. Submit to his hands and let him shape our lives for his glory. Was it a pleasant blessing? Did the blind man, did he come to that awareness at that moment? No, probably not at that moment. We discover that in the process of learning obedience and surrender to the Lordship of Christ in our lives. And then the crucifixion of Jesus, which is the ultimate example of this biblical truth. Persistently, as Jesus was unfolding his divine plan of being the Redeemer of the world, his disciples did not get it. They did not get it. You mean to tell me, Pastor, that when they began to follow him, even from their fishing and their nets to follow him, that at that moment they did not understand the fullness of his purpose? That's exactly what I'm telling you. Some of the ultimate purposes of God in the minds and hearts of the disciples did not occur until after his ascension and the Spirit coming down and filling them and then using them. There was a day when Jesus began to try to tell his disciples. You see, how could it be? How could the crucifixion be a blessing of God? How in the world could that be? That makes no human sense. And when Jesus began to tell them, to try to prepare them for what he came to do, they didn't like what he said. Have you ever had some lessons from God you didn't like? Notice what Peter did. Matthew 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. And Peter took him aside. This is profound. Now, don't look down your hyper-spiritual nose at this text of Scripture going, how could Peter be so stupid? You've done the same thing and so have I. Resisted against God's activity or will in my life, wanting to suggest to him how he could have a better plan if he'd just listened to me. And Peter took Jesus aside. I guess Peter didn't want to embarrass Jesus in front of the other disciples. How kindly of him to think so generously. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke. Peter's rebuking Jesus and saying, this is profound. God forbid it, Lord, that this should never happen to you. You know, a good sermon title for that text, a good sermon for that text is The Worst Prayer Ever Prayed. Or here's another one. Praise God for Unanswered Prayer. Huh? I mean, get this. Peter is calling God down against God. Look, God forbid that that should happen to you. He didn't get it. You mean the cross has an eternal, everlasting purpose? You mean what you've described is planned, is purposed? It's the instrument through which your greatest eternal everlasting blessings are brought to the world? Lord, how can that be? Let me say something to you. And this is the truth we do not like experientially. We are told repeatedly through God's word, the examples of Scripture, human history, biblical history, contemporary Christian history, God does His greatest works in our lives in the most hurtful moments of our lives. That's when God's trying to plant the seed deep for us to get it. It's a teachable moment of spirit and spirit. We don't look for it. We don't create crisis. I'm not saying that. And I'm not saying that God doesn't use things around our lives as blessings. Those things come and do, and we rejoice in those things. But the deeper work is the work of the Spirit in the Spirit. And those, as God's Spirit is bearing His presence in our spirit, that requires a cross in my life, just like it does in yours. Not only do we remember what God's saying as a means of expecting the unexpected, secondly, we need to release your expectations. Release your expectations. Notice this scripture in Daniel. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, this is King Nebuchadnezzar, because he was commanding them to bow down to worship his image. These three Jewish boys, which were from their country and into the captivity. And this is what they said. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, they don't have to think about it. They've got an answer. If it be so, he's saying, if you don't bow down, I've got a furnace over here that's already heated 7 times hotter than ever before, and we're going to cook you today. You're going to burn if you don't bow. This was their answer. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from out of our hand, O King. Notice that the premise of that is, notice that if it be so. We know God can. The God we serve, not a big deal. Fiery furnace, no problem. Read on. But if not, see those words? But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which is set up before you. They knew God was able, He could. But they weren't assured of what He would do. But their obedience was not conditioned on what God would do. Its position, it was anchored in who God was to them. If you see, listen to me. They said, our God is able to deliver us. There's two kinds of deliverances. One is to be delivered from, the other is to die in. That's a deliverance too, by the way. isn't it? Every time a Christian has a funeral, that's a deliverance service. That's a homegoing. That's a graduation. That's a hallelujah. That's praise God. Woo! As I said, somebody mentioned this about John Salzman's service that he used to sit over here because of that stuff, and he'd say, wow, wow, wow. I said, God would just had him rehearsing for heaven when he stepped in heaven's glory. John went, wow, wow, wow. I mean, folks, that's what it is for a Christian. They said, we have expectations that God is big enough, but we don't know what he's going to do. But we know what we're going to do because we know who he is, and we're not going to violate our honor to him. You see, in Matthew 5, the term blessed there, or blessed, some have translated that to merely mean happiness. Well, it's got to be more than that. Happiness tends to be connected to what is happening. It's circumstantially based. And how can this blessedness, this happiness, if that's what it is, be the essence of it? Because it's connected to many concepts here, poor in spirit, persecution, that are unhappy circumstances. Some have said that that term blessed means one prominent preacher and writer has called this the Beatitudes, that these are attitudes that we should have, and we can choose our attitudes and we can choose to be happy. But this is my suggestion. If our attitudes of choice are not connected to an external reality, that's emptiness. If there is no truth that my attitude connects to, then there is no power in having a positive attitude if positively my circumstances are bad. And I don't mean just immediately, I mean ultimately as well. You see, based on our times, we ought to be the happiest people on the face of the earth. It's Getting Better All the Time is the title of a book. It's Getting Better All the Time. The author cites 100 positive trends of the 20th century, such as life expectancy has increased, fewer children die at birth, global food production is up, adult illiteracy has dropped throughout the world. And I love these. People are taking more showers than ever before. here's another one. There are more swimming pools than there's ever been. There has been more improvements in the human condition in the past 100 years than in all the previous centuries combined since man first appeared on the earth. But listen to what he says. Never has a century known such abundance or such massive genocide. Never has a culture experienced such comfort and opportunity or such widespread depression. Never has technology given us so many conveniences or such terrible instruments of degradation and destruction. Never have we been so self-reliant and also so lonely. Never have we seemed so free, or our prisons so overstuffed. Never have we had so much education, or such a high rate of teen delinquency, despair, and suicide. Never have we been so sophisticated about pleasure, or so likely to suffer broken or miserable marriages. These are the best of times materially, but not for the human spirit. Is it possible because we're looking in the wrong places for the blessings? This is purely materialistic definition of the blessings of God. And let me say again, God does bless in material ways. And we thank Him for that. We praise God for it. You know, one of the things that we're going to be doing, one of the next events of blessing, and it doesn't require an overabundance of people, and people have volunteered, and that's this week. Thursday is the Feed the Troops. There's going to be a group going from our church to feed the troops, those that are going to be shipped out. We don't know how many there'll be, 200 or 300. We'll be feeding them a Thanksgiving, a meal, or a nice meal. And it's going to be catered by Applebee's, and it was going to cost about $1,500, something like that. We had no idea where we were going to get the money. Well, Hazel's daughter, Brianna, who's attends here some, she lives in another city, took the initiative on her own to contact the Dallas Morning News, the Metro section, and suggested them to put in a story about our Feeding the Troops deal. Now, Lori, who just stepped out a moment ago, is the one, she's our contact person there, and they put her name, she didn't even know the article was in the paper. We didn't know anything was in, but her name, contact Lori. Well, a lady called this week, said, "Are you the lady that's handled? I read this story." And she said, "What story? What's the story?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm the person." I said, "Well, what are y'all doing?" She said, "Well, we're feeding the troops as they're being shipped out to Afghanistan and Iraq and different places. We go and just tell them, God bless you, and maybe have opportunities to pray with any of them and that kind of thing." And she said, "Well, what's it costing?" She said, "It's going to be about $1,500 and that kind of thing." She said, "Well, how much money do you have right now?" She said, "We've got about $300. This lady said, $1,000 coming in the mail. Never met each other, don't know her name yet. Does God do that? Yes, He does that. I'll tell this story on my wife. She's a teacher in a charter school, which is a privately managed public school. About two weeks ago, principal came at the end of the day and said, "You're getting a bonus for your performance last year." Really? It is charter school. She called me at the end of the day and said, "Well, how much do you think my bonus is?" "Ha, $100. "No." "Okay, $300. "No." "How much is your bonus?" She said, "It's a little over $3,000. Woo! Does God do that? Yes, He does. But hear me. That's not the best. It's not the best. The best is, listen to me. In an early 19th century edition of Webster's Dictionary. Early 19th century edition of Webster's Dictionary. The term happiness is defined. I wish I'd had time to put this on the screen, but not. This is the... In a Webster's Dictionary, this is the definition of happiness: the pleasurable sensations derived from the gratification of sensual appetites renders a person temporarily happy. But, says Webster, he can only be esteemed really and permanently happy who enjoys peace of mind in the favor of God. Webster's Dictionary. You wonder why it's not in the present edition, don't you? That's where it is. The greatest blessings are in knowing God. I told you a long time ago, if I open my Bible, my dad passed away, I put his picture in my Bible. But anyway, there's my dad. A scripture that jumped out at me. I put it in the front of my Bible a long time ago. Jeremiah 9:23-24. "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not the rich man boast of his riches." Does God bless that way at times? Sure He does. But don't boast in that. "Let him who boast of this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness, justice, righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, saith the Lord." The blessing is to know God. Oh, I need to move on. Number three, and then I'm through. Rejoice in the promise of blessings in all things. Isn't that what the scripture says? Romans 8:28, said it many times. "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose." And then Matthew 5:12, which is the end of that text we read a few moments ago, after those blessings, which are related to experiences that we would not have chosen, poor in spirit, mourning, persecution. At the end of those, he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. How can we expect the unexpected? Because we know what the Bible says, and God says, my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than, as the heavens are above the earth, are my ways higher than your ways. God's work is pervasive and constant and perpetual. He's doing great things and pouring out his blessings, even in circumstances that we would not have chosen. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, the great Russian writer who went to prison and later wrote the Gulag Archipelago, the experience of that Russian prison. And he came to faith in Christ in that place. And later asked about his prison experience. And this is what he said. Bless you, prison. Bless you. Because that's where he met Jesus. Look, what did the scripture say? Acts 5:40. Not on your screen. The disciples were beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus. And they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Christ. Romans 8:18. These present sufferings are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. Listen to me. Your worst day, even if it's the result of your own rebellious stupidity, look to God, and what you meant for evil, God can mean it for good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to celebrate how you can take the cross as a result of our sin putting you there, and yet that became the doorway of grace. Lord, only you can do that. And Father, as we face cross experiences in our lives, I pray in the name and blood of Jesus that you would enable us to expect the unexpected. For you to take even things that we can produce, if we will look to you, you'll take the harm and turn it to hell. God, there are people in this church that on a continual basis have been through experiences that they brought on themselves, and yet they're turning it for your glory because they're seeking you now. And then that's become a doorway of your presence in their lives to others. Lord, I pray for those that are facing unusual circumstances today, that you would help us all to look to you in a fresh way and say, Lord, you're wanting to pour some blessings in my life. It could be just to discover that your power is made greatest through my weakness. Lord, when I come to the end of myself, that's when I can really gain the beginning of your fullness. Lord, I don't know the needs of those that are seated before me, but you do, God. You know their hearts, their struggles, their hopes, their fears, their sin. I pray in Jesus' name that you'd speak your will to us and prompt us to one step of response to your Spirit and letting you be God in our lives and trusting you to take our lives and to use us for your glory and to receive and to share your blessings with others. Lord, this invitation is yours. Help our response now to open the door of your blessing to our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.